الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading in the third chapter the author he entitled حفظه الله تعالى القلوب آنية القلوب آنية that the hearts they are vessels meaning they are containers some are filled with good and some are filled with evil and others they become mixed with the two. We have seen a number of benefits with regards to this that the author he had mentioned, حفظه الله تعالى. And we have been reading what he mentioned from the summarized statements of Ibn Qayyim, رحمه الله, about the signs that the heart is sound and good and pure and clean. And he mentioned six signs, and the last of them was the fact that a person, he will have great honor and reverence for the Salah, that the Salah will have a high status and place in the heart. This is an indication that the heart is sound and good. And then likewise, the author, he as well summarized some other statements of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala about the means that one can take in order for the Salah to become the delight of a person's eyes. The delight of a person's eyes. We had also discussed as well some other benefits from Ibn Qayyim likewise as well, rahimahullah ta'ala, whenever he mentioned these same points, and he mentioned them as the right of obedience. The right of obedience. So here in the chapter that we're discussing now, the author, hafidhahullah, he has summarized these points from the treatise of Ibn Qayyim, Risalatu Ibn Qayyim li ahadi ikhwanihi. The treatise of Ibn Qayyim to one of his brothers. In this treatise, he wrote these 6 points, mentioning that this is from the means for the salah to become the delight of the eye. And as for in his work, Nighatatul Ahfan, he mentioned there, rahimahullah ta'ala, that these 6 points are haqullahi fi ta'a, haqullahi fi ta'a. They are the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal in every action of obedience. So, in general, a person, if he's hoping to strive and seek the pleasure of Allah and to fulfill the right of Allah and the actions of obedience, then he must establish these 6 points. We review them briefly. Number one, al-ikhlas fil amal, that one he does the action sincerely for the sake of Allah. Number two, al-nasihatu lillahi fihi, that a person he will be sincere, he will be truthful and honest in performing that action of worship dedicated to Allah inwardly and outwardly. Number three, mutaba'a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fihi, that a person he will follow diligently, inwardly and outwardly, the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number four, shuhud mashhad al-ihsan fihi, the person he will witness the status of al-ihsan, striving to perfect the worship properly, inwardly and outwardly, to the best of one's ability. Number four, wa shuhud minnatillahi alayhi fihi, that a person he will witness the blessing and the favor, the bounty of Allah upon him in performing that action of worship. And performing that action of worship. And number six, shuhudu taqsirihi fihi ba'da dhalika kullihi, that a person after all of these affairs he has made great effort to establish, then he will witness and realize his own shortcomings in establishing the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we read from where we had left off, that which the author he mentioned, he says, حفظه الله تعالى ومما ينبغي أن يعلم أن الصلاة التي تخر بها العين ويستريح بها القلب هي التي تجمع ستة مشاهد. It's incumbent to know that the salah, that the eyes find delight and the hearts find rest and ease with regards to, it is the prayer that gathers 6 points. So he mentioned the first one, المشهد الأول. المشهد الأول الإخلاص. The first point, the first issue, and he said ستة مشاهد. مشاهد is the plural of مشهد. Mashhad is from a shahada, something that is witnessed. What is intended, and Allah knows best, is something that is witnessed with the heart. Something that is witnessed with the heart. A person, he will be alive. He will be alive witnessing these affairs, establishing them, observing them with his heart inwardly until it's displayed on his body parts and his actions and conduct outwardly. A mashhad al-awwal, the first mashhad, al-ikhlas. Al-ikhlas, sincerity and purity of intention. He mentioned وهو أن يكون الحامل عليها والداعي إليها رغبة العبد في الله ومحبته له وطلب مرضاته والقرب منه والتودد إليه وامتثال أمره. He says, and that is that the thing that would carry the person to perform the action of worship or to establish the salah, and that which is calling him is the desire and the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person's desire and his hope in Allah and his love for Allah and seeking the pleasure of Allah and hoping to draw near to Allah and hoping to gain and obtain the love of Allah and in compliance to his commandment subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a brief summary of what he's mentioning here, what it means to be sincere in performing the action of worship here, even more specifically the salah. The one who is sincere in performing this action of worship means that that which is carrying him to establish him, that which is moving him to perform the action of worship, is his strong and fervent desire to have the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, to seek the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his pleasure, and hopes to draw near to him and have the help and the aid of Allah, and so that Allah will love him, and in compliance to the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So he says, بِحَيْثُ لَا يَكُونُ الْبَاعِثُ لَهُ عَلَيْهَا بِحَيْثُ لَا يَكُونُ الْبَاعِثُ لَهُ عَلَيْهَا حَظًّا مِنْ حُظُوظِ الدُّنْيَا أَلْبَتَّ بَلْ يَأْتِي بِهَا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى مَحَبَّةً لَهُ وَخَوْفًا مِنْ عَذَابِهِ وَرَجَاءً لِمَغْفِرَتِهِ وَثَوَابِهِ. Meaning that that which is driving him is nothing from the affairs of the worldly life at all whatsoever. And there's nothing from the affairs of the worldly life that is driving him or calling him to perform this particular deed. And here with regards to the salah specifically, and in general any actions of worship, to be sincere in that, is that that which is driving him and the reason that is carrying him and the purpose that he's hoping for and establishing the deed in the first place is simply to please Allah and to seek the pleasure of Allah and to have the help and aid of Allah and to comply to the command of Allah, hoping to draw near to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing from the worldly life is driving him to perform the action. No praise from the people, no position in the hearts of the people, no status or rank in society, no authority, nothing whatsoever from the affairs of the worldly life. Rather, he will perform the action seeking the face of his Lord, the Most High, out of sincere love for him and fear of his punishment and hoping for his forgiveness and reward. So this is the summarized mention here of the issue of al-ikhlas. He says, وَالْمَشْهَدُ الثَّانِي مَشْهَدُ الصِّدْقِ وَالنُّصْحِ. And the second mashhad is that of al-sidq wal-nusr. Al-sidq means truthfulness. What is intended here is to be honest and truthful and to have integrity. And likewise, al-nusr, it has the same meaning. In this context, they are synonyms. Al-sidq wal-nusr, that a person who be truthful and honest and have integrity in performing the action of worship. Here specifically, the salah. And the word al-nusr, it has a similar meaning likewise linguistically of al-ikhlas. And the Arab, they say, al-asl al-nasih, referring to al-asl al-khalis. And in the word nasih, many times it has the same meaning of khalis, that which is pure. And they refer to the honey. If it's been purified and all of the parts of the comb has been separated and filtered until there's nothing remaining except for pure honey, they call it asalun nasih. Nasi yani khalis, safi naqi. Khalis, safi naqi. So the ideas here of having a pure intention and a clear mind at the performance of the actions of worship, they come together. The issue of al-ikhlas and the sidq. But there's a difference between the two. We indicated them in our previous class. Inshallah, we touch on them again. So this is the issue of al-sidq wal-nusr, being truthful, being honest, having integrity while performing the action of worship. So here comes a beautiful explanation now. And again, to summarize it, for more details, return to the original treatise of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, وَهُوَ أَنْ يُفَرِّغَ قَلْبَهُ لِلَّهِ فِيهَا. And as to have a sidq wal-nusr, and in the prayer, again specifically, but we want to take the general benefit, barakallahu fikum, in every action of worship, وَهُوَ أَنْ يُفَرِّغَ الْقَلْبَ لِلَّهِ فِيهَا. And that is that a person who empty out his heart for the sake of Allah and while performing the action. He will empty his heart out entirely for the sake of Allah. Meaning there is at the time of performing the action of worship, at the time of performing the action of obedience, at the time of performing the salah, his heart has been emptied out from the worldly life. He emptied his heart from the worldly life, and there's nothing in his heart now except for love and hope and fear and trust and reliance and servitude and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, he's being truthful. As for had he established one of these rites of obedience while his heart is full of the dunya and his mind is preoccupied with the worldly life, then we've seen the examples of that. And he's not performing the action upon integrity. And he's not performing it honestly to the best of his ability. Rather, he's performing it with great deficiency and weakness because he's not focusing. He's not focusing on the action at hand. Rather, he is outwardly engaged in what is from the greatest and best actions of worship, the salah, for example, or any other action of obedience, while his mind and his heart is attached to the worldly life. And the salah and the actions of obedience, they're the deeds of the hereafter. So it's very blameworthy for a person's heart to be preoccupied with the dunya while his body is engaged in the actions of the hereafter. So to be sincere in the action, meaning that a person, he will only do it for the sake of Allah, and the action is performed for Allah alone. But to be truthful and have integrity in that means to focus while performing that and to perform it inwardly and outwardly in the best manner. So he has to focus his intention and his desire and his aim and realize that he's engaged in the action of worship. And this comes by increasing the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and likewise having great fear of Allah azza wa jal at the time of performing the action. In this manner, the aim is established by increasing the hope, by remembering the favors and blessings of Allah, by remembering the promise of Allah, by remembering the aid and help of Allah for those who are sincere and truthful. The heart will now be alive, moving with hope, hoping in Allah, not in anything else. So now he'll become preoccupied and engaged in the action of worship and not be thinking about the worldly life. He has left that entirely. And likewise, his heart will be moving with fear. Fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You remember also the power and authority and command of Allah and the great rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and as well those blessings again in his deficiency and showing thanks to Allah for the blessings. And how many times has he used the favors of Allah to disobey him? Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now his heart is moving with fear. So now at this time the heart is empty from the worldly life. He's not thinking about anything except for the hereafter, about Allah and the meeting of Allah and the favor and the blessing of Allah and also the punishment and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَهُوَ أَنْ يُفَرِّغَ قَلْبَهُ لِلَّهِ فِيهَا. And that is that he'll empty his heart out for the sake of Allah during the performance of the action. وَيَسْتَفْرِغَ جُهْدَهُ فِي إِقْبَالِهِ فِيهَا عَلَى اللَّهِ. And he'll utilize his utmost effort to strive to be devoted to Allah entirely while performing the action. وَجَمْعِ قَلْبِهِ عَلَيْهَا وَإِقَاعِهَا عَلَى أَحْسَنِ الْوُجُوهِ وَأَكْمَلِهَا ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا. And he will strive and he will exert his utmost effort to gather his heart, meaning to focus in performing the action, and also to perform it in the best manner, in the most perfect way, outwardly and inwardly. So he says, فَإِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ لَهَا ظَاهِرٌ وَبَاطِنٌ. And this is because the prayer indeed, it has an outward aspect and an inward aspect. فَظَاهِرُهَا الْأَفْعَالُ الْمُشَاهَدَةُ وَالْأَقْوَالُ الْمَسْمُوعَةُ. So that which is apparent from the salah are the actions that are witnessed, and the deeds that are performed, the movements that are made, and likewise the statements that are heard. وَبَاطِنُهَا الْخُشُوعُ وَالْمُرَاقَبَةُ وَتَفْرِيغُ الْقَلْبِ لِلَّهِ وَالْإِقْبَالُ بِكُلِّيَتِهِ عَلَى اللَّهِ فِيهَا. And as for the inward aspect, then that is the humbleness and the reverence that one will have for Allah, and the fact that a person, he will observe and be alive with the remembrance of Allah, and be aware that Allah is observing him, and he will empty his heart out for the sake of Allah and devote himself in entirety, and then devote himself in entirety to Allah while performing the action. بِحَيْثُ لَا يَلْتَفِتُ قَلْبُهُ عَنْهُ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ. Till the extent that a person, his heart will not turn away from Allah in any aspect whatsoever. That the heart will not turn away from Allah in any aspect whatsoever. The word here being used is al-itifat. Al-itifat, literally, it means to turn one's head to the right or to the left, to look around. So the eyes, they make iltifat. A person, if he looks over here or he looks over there, yaltafitu, yamina wa shimala, like this, to look around. But also the qalb has iltifat. And this is what is being discussed here. It's not talking about the eyes looking around, rather it's talking about the heart looking around. Just as a person, he can look around with his eyes. He can look over here, he can look over there, he can look up here, he can look down here. He can move his eyes left and right, up and down, looking to the sides, so on and so forth. And many times when this happens, a person becomes distracted. If you're speaking to somebody, or someone is speaking to you, and while they're addressing you, you're looking around like this, and looking around like that, and looking over here, and looking over here, and looking down like this, at the time that they're addressing you, what were they thinking about you? Huh? He's distracted, he's not paying attention. This is at bare minimum going to be considered bad manners. What if it was the president who called you, or the king who called you to his office, or the lights like this, or the general who's calling you to talk to you, tell you something very important. You have been invited to come to a private gathering where he's going to speak to you directly. And whenever you get there, you're looking around left and right, he's talking to you and you're looking down and you're not paying any attention. This is at bare minimum going to make you look bad in front of him if he does not belittle you. If he does not belittle you. So this is the case here with regards to the heart. Whenever a person is insincere, he's dishonest, and he doesn't have integrity in performing the deed, and he's not focused, and his mind is wandering, and his heart is going about through the worldly life and not even remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except for a little bit. It's been collected by Al-Bukhari from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha that she said, سَأَلْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِمْ عَنْ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ عَنْ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ She said, رضي الله عنه, I asked the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم about الْإِلْتِفَاتِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ This is even more specific, and this is what the author he's discussing now as well. الْإِلْتِفَاتِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ To look around in the prayer. Aisha رضي الله عنها, she asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about looking around in the prayer. Any meaning that this is something that maybe would happen, something that may occur to a person if he's not focused or if they're not paying attention. This is something that maybe someone will do. He'll be in the prayer, and during the prayer, he'll start looking around here and looking around there, especially if things are going on around him. Somebody enters, or there's somebody moving around, or things happening, and the likes like this, or even sometimes maybe there's nothing happening around him. He just cannot focus, and he cannot stop looking around and moving his head or his eyes to the left and to the right. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked about this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, هُوَ اخْتِلَاسٌ يَخْتَلِسُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْعَبْدِ هُوَ اخْتِلَاسٌ يَخْتَلِسُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْعَبْدِ That this is اختلاس. اختلاس that the shaytan, he snatches away from the prayer of a person. From the prayer of a person. الاختلاس يعني الاختطاف بسرعة. بسرعه. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned the مختلس, and the shaytan here is the مختلس, يختلس من صلاة العبد, هو الذي يخطف من غير غلبة ويهرب ولو مع معاينة المالك له. And the one who is مختلس, who is he? He is a person who will come and snatch something from somebody without overpowering them or strong arming them. He will take it from them and flee and take off running, even if they're looking. And in English, we call it ripping somebody off. Ripping somebody off. He ripped him off. And he is getting ripped off. He will come, for example, and see somebody with a phone in his hand. And he will come, let me see that, and then take off running. He will take it from his hand and then take off running. And a lot like that. Or he will see some money on the table and he will just look over, grab it, snatch it, and run. Like this. He ripped him off. He ripped him off. And this is the meaning of the word ikhtilas. It's a type of sariqah. It's a type of theft.
Yeah.
But it occurs whenever a person, he just takes something and flees with it. Even if the owner is looking at him at that time. So now that we understand the meaning, the linguistic meaning of ikhtilas, whenever Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked about al-tifat. Al-tifat fi salat. Looking around in the prayer. He said, Huwa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Huwa ikhtilasun yakhtalisu shaytanu min salatil abd. That this is ikhtilas. That shaytan, he snatches and he rips off from the prayer of a person. The prayer of a person. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a great benefit on this narration here specifically. And he mentioned about the issue of al-iltifat. Al-iltifat fi salat. Naw'an. To look around. Al-tifat, what does that mean? Al-tifat, what does that mean? Yes. To look around. Al-tifat. Now like this, yaltafit huna, he looks right here like this, he's looking around. This is called al-tifat. Ibn Qayyim, he said in the prayer is two times, or in reality in general is two times. Iltifat bil-ayn wa iltifat bil-qalb. That the eyes, they will look around. The eyes, they will look around. And the other aspect, which is more severe, is that the heart, it will look around. The heart, it will look around. And this is what he's referring to here. And he, from being sincere, بِحَيْثُ لَا يَلْتَفِتُ قَلْبُهُ عَنْهُ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ. And to the extent he's focusing and he's paying attention and he's devoted sincerely, inwardly and outwardly, to the extent that his heart is not turning or looking to anything besides Allah. His heart is not thinking about what's happening later, or what he's going to do tomorrow, or what he's going to say to so-and-so, or about this transaction or that transaction, or anything from the worldly life. His heart is not looking there or there. And his heart is hoping in Allah and fearing Allah and moving in the love of Allah, seeking His pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, no doubt, if he looks around, this is iltifat. And if he's standing in front of a judge, or in front of a king, or in front of someone of authority, and he's doing that while he's being addressed specifically himself, then no doubt this is something that is blameworthy. Even sometimes a person, he will look directly at someone, but his heart is preoccupied, and it can be seen in the face that they're not paying attention. So now we'll take these ideas here and we take it back to the salah, and we're standing in front of Malikul Mulk, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King of Kings, the King of Kings, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who has the supreme dominion and authority in his hands, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most forgiving and merciful and the most severe in punishment, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it's not befitting for a believer to stand in front of him in this manner when his heart is turning left and right. So whenever the heart is preoccupied and distracted in the prayer, this is because of a deficiency in the issue of As-Siddiq wa-Nus. This is the point that we want to make, because maybe a person, he is not showing off. He's not doing it for other than the sake of Allah. He's not a mushrik. He's not worshipping other than Allah. He's not showing off. He's not wanting to be heard. But at the same time, he's not truthful in the performance of that. He's preoccupied by the worldly life. So there's a difference between showing off and being heedless. Is that one showing off and arriya, and he is making the prayer good, for example, so that people praise him, or so that people like him, or the people will hold him in good regards, and the likes like this. Another one, he does not have this idea in his heart whatsoever, but he just said Allahu Akbar, and he's thinking about his job, he's thinking about his work, he's thinking about the dunya, what he's going to do later, what he's going to say to his wife whenever he gets home, or what he's going to do with so-and-so, or the job that he has lined up, or what happened with the bank account, or whatever comes to the mind of a person. So he's not showing off, he's not wanting to be heard, he doesn't have an issue at this time with riyah, he has an issue with something else. What is it? As-Siddiq wa-Nus, being truthful with Allah in performing the action. This just requires for a person to focus. Like he said here, this beautiful definition, to empty his heart out from everything besides Allah. To empty the heart out from the dunya. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned this is from the wisdom, and Allah knows best some of the efforts the people of knowledge have made while raising your hands, takbirat ihram. You put the dunya behind you. You say Allahu Akbar. You raise your hands, you put the dunya behind you, and you advance on the hereafter. You advance and devote yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the case of as-Siddiq. He says, حفظه الله فهذا بمنزلة الروح لها والأفعال بمنزلة البدن إذا خلت من الروح كانت بدن لا روح فيه كانت بدنا لا روح فيه كانت يعني الصلاة بدنا لا روح فيه. So now he says, closing this portion, فَهَذَا بِمَنْزِلَةِ الرُّوحِ لَهَا وَالْأَفْعَالُ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْبَدِنِ. So here, this issue here, the issue of as-Siddiq wa-Nus, this is like the status of the soul of the prayer. The soul of the prayer. The ruh is the soul. Sometimes the word ruh is used to refer to the lub, and in the essence of the prayer. Also the ruh bihi al-hayat, the life. The life of the prayer, with the soul, the body comes to life. With the soul, the body comes to life. And without the soul, the body is dead. So this is what he's saying here. So this issue that we're discussing now about being truthful and honest while performing the action, being focused and devoted to Allah, emptying the heart out from the dunya, and having high hopes and desire for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal while performing the action, this is like the soul and the life and the essence of the salah. And as for the actions, then they are like the body. Then they are like the body of the prayer. This is going back to what he said, the prayer has an inside, an inward aspect and an outward aspect. So the outward aspect is like the body, and the inward aspect is like the soul. The outward aspects are the actions and the words that are heard, the words that are heard and pronounced during the prayer, and the inward aspect is this issue here of the heart, the issue of the sidq wa nus, to have the heart alive with the love of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, and the hope for the reward of Allah, and the fear of the punishment of Allah, devotion to Allah, and servitude before Allah, humbleness, servitude and humbleness before Allah. This issue is like the soul and the life of the salah. And as for those actions outwardly, and those statements that are heard, this is the body. فَإِذَا خَلَّتْ مِنْ رُوحِ كَانَتْ كَبَدَنِنْ كَانَتْ كَبَدَنِنْ لَا رُوحَ فِيهِ كَانَتْ كَبَدَنِنْ لَا رُوحَ فِيهِ. So he says, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ, so if the prayer is void or empty from, if the prayer is void of the soul, it has no soul, it has no life, then it will be like a body that has no soul in it. A body that has no soul in it. So the prayer that's void of this issue of as-sidq wa nusr, is void of this great remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and being focused and performing the deed, then it's like a body that has no soul. So a body that has no soul, does it bring benefit? Does it bring benefit? No, it does not bring benefit. So likewise, the prayer that has no life, also the benefit from that will be little. فَإِذَا خَالَتْ مِنْ رُوحِ كَانَتْ كَبَدَنِنْ لَا رُوحَ فِيهِ. So he says now, المشهد الثالث مشهد المتابعة والاقتداء. The third مشهد is that of المتابعة والاقتداء. المتابعة والاقتداء, of following the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and taking him as a role model. Of following the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and taking him as the role model. So he clarifies now what this means. وَهُوَ أَنْ يَحْرِصَ كُلَّ الْحِرْصِ عَلَى الْاقْتِدَاءِ فِي صَلَاتِهِ بِالنَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is that one must be diligent in a great manner to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his prayer. To imitate, and to follow precisely, step by step, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the prayer. Just as has been connected by Bukhari from the hadith of Malik ibn Huwaylith radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, and pray in the manner you have seen me pray. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had ordered. So going back to the first point of sincerity, it was mentioned from that one, he would intend to comply to the command of Allah. So here, complying to the command of Allah, in compliance to the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and praying in the manner that he was seen praying. Not praying in the manner that they pray in the masjid, or praying in the manner that they pray in my village, or praying in the manner that they pray in my madhab. And if it's contrary to the clear and authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the role model absolutely. And this is the point here. So he says, وَيُصَلِّي كَمَا كَانَ يُصَلِّي وَيُعْرِضُ عَمَّا أَحْدَثَ الناس في الصلاة من الزيادة والنقصان والأوضاع التي لم ينقل عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيء منها ولا عن أحد من أصحابه. Meaning that one, he will pray in the manner that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray, and he will turn away and disregard all of those things that the people have innovated in the prayer, from additions and subtractions and other circumstances that they do while in the salah, that is not transmitted from the Messenger of Allah, that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor from any one of his companions, radiyallahu anhum. So this is also of utmost importance. So as has preceded in the previous point, the prayer has an inward aspect and an outward aspect. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified both aspects. both aspects. But here, after discussing the issue about ikhlas and his sidq wa nus, now it's of utmost importance to establish the issue of mutabah. The first two points with regards to the inward aspect. With regards to the inward aspect. As for the mutabah here, then this is with regards to the outward aspect. That the movements and the statements made are in the proper manner and in the proper places, and according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, based upon evidence from the authentic narrations of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not simply blind following, or not simply doing it how they do it in my country, or how my forefathers used to do it, without having any understanding or any knowledge or any light. It's of utmost importance to learn the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then to strive against one's soul to perform the prayer properly like that. To perform the prayer properly like that. We have discussed in previous classes, has come from the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma in Sahih Bukhari, and likewise with in Muslim. It has come in the hadith of Ibn Umar, three places where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hand, in a fourth place in another narration by Ibn Umar, which is the same narration, but it's the wording of Muslim. The wording of Muslim. So if you gather these two wordings together, there are four places where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to raise his hands in the prayer, which is established in Bukhari and Muslim. Likewise, there are other narrations as well clarifying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he raised his hands in those four places, he would raise them until they're parallel with his shoulders, or parallel with his earlobes, like this. Any meaning that they're approximately like this, with his palms facing outward and his fingers together, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of this is from the descriptions that have come in the book of Salah, any of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those four places is whenever a person, he enters into the prayer and he makes takbirat al-ihram, and then whenever he goes into ruku', he'll raise his hands in the same manner. Whenever he raises from the ruku', he'll raise his hands in the same manner, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And upon standing from a tashahud al-awwal, upon standing from the first tashahud, all of these here are established on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these four places. And then likewise, raising them here in this manner. Some people, they have learned these places and they raise their hands there, but when they do, they barely raise their hands. They raise their hands like up to their navel or to their stomach. They just go like this. And the people of knowledge, they find this very blameworthy. They're very blameworthy. Either we raise our hands the manner that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, or don't raise your hands. You don't just go like this. Some people, they just go like this. Or some people, they raise their hands like they're making dua. And the like that, they stand up from ruku', or they, whenever they make takbir, they raise their hands like they're making dua. This is not proper. This is not correct. We have to pray in the manner that was displayed by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The prayer is something that is from the legislation that was revealed. Legislation that was revealed is guidance from the heavens, from the creator of the heavens and the earth. It was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayer. The obligation of the prayer, and likewise how to perform the prayer. Jibreel alayhi salam, he prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a number of times, clarifying the manner of the salah and the time of the salah. So we raise our hands in the salah because this is what is transmitted from the one whom the salah was revealed to, the teacher of the salah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it has to be in the same manner. Some people, again, they raise their hands just like this, and they're real lazy. Like they don't want to raise their hands all the way. This is not proper. This is not correct. Rather, the hands, they should be raised correctly until they're equal or parallel with the shoulders. Other people, they go into extremes and they make big movements that are unnecessary. Likewise, on the other hand, some are negligent. Some go to extremes, or some raise their hands real high like this. Maybe you'll see them raising their hands above their heads almost like this. All of this is not necessary. This is from the additions and the subtractions in these circumstances that were not transmitted from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the prayer has been described in great detail. The qiyam of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the takbirat al-ihram of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the bowing, the ruku' of the Prophet, how he raised sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of this has been clarified in a number of narrations. The sujood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, umirtu an asjuda ala sab'ati a'dhumin, sallallahu, the narration of Ibn Abbas. We have taken these alhamdulillah in the Kitab al-Salah and Umdat al-Ahkam. The point is now that after learning these affairs, a person, he must strive to implement them, to implement them properly, and to hope that his prayer is performed in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla. He mentioned here a point to avoid or turn away and abandon all of those additions and subtractions, those circumstances or the situations people they perform in their prayer that were not transmitted from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor from any of his companions, nor from any of his companions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum. So he says, al-mashhadu al-rabi' mashhadu al-ihsan. So now the fourth mashhad, and that is that of al-ihsan. Al-ihsan linguistically means al-itqan. Al-ihsan huwa al-itqan wa al-ijada, to do something in the best manner. To do something in the best manner. And this, he says here, wa huwa mashhadu muraqabah. And it is the issue of al-muraqabah. Al-muraqabah literally it means observance. Observance. Turaqibu shay'an, then you mean that you observe it, you're looking after it. You're observing it, you're looking after it, you're paying attention to it, and you're aware of it. You're aware of it and what's happening. This is what it means, al-muraqabah. So here we're talking about making muraqabah of Allah Azza wa Jal. That means that you realize that Allah, He's making muraqabah of you. That you realize and you are fully aware and conscious of the fact that Allah sees you. And you're fully aware of the fact that Allah, He sees you. So Allah, from His beautiful names, Ar-Raqib. Ar-Raqib, Subhanahu wa Yani Al-Muraqib. Allah, He's the one who is observing all of His creation in a manner befitting His majesty. Nothing is hidden from Him whatsoever, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here the issue about ihsan is whenever a person, he will observe that. When a person himself will realize that and be conscious of the fact that Allah sees him, that Allah is aware of him, that Allah hears him, and nothing of his actions or statements or nothing of his circumstances or situation is hidden from Allah whatsoever. Whatsoever. In this manner, the one who realizes and is conscious of this, the one who realizes and is conscious of this, he will perform the action in the best manner. And this is what is considered Al-Ihsan. Al-Ihsan. Inshallah, we begin our class tomorrow with the issue of Al-Ihsan. We don't have time to read and discuss the benefits this evening with regards to that. If we go back to the first two points, المشهد مشهد الأول ومشهد الثاني مشهد الإخلاص ومشهد الصدق والنصح. The issue of الإخلاص and the issue of الصدق والنصح. يعني the difference between the two. The difference between the two. The people of knowledge, they mentioned, and Ibn Qayyim, he discussed this as well in a number of his works. And العبد له له مطلوب وله طلب. له مطلوب وله طلب. A person, he has المطلوب, مطلوب, and he has الطلب. The مطلوب is the something that one is seeking after, and the طلب is the seek of the is the seeker, is seeking after that thing, seeking after that thing. Other terms to understand this issue: مطلوب يعني مراد, and the طلب يعني الإرادة, الإرادة. So the matlub yani the murad, the thing that a person is seeking after, and then he has a talib or al irada. A talib is his desire, his effort, that which he's seeking, that which he's seeking. So there's something that you seek after, and there is the means that you're taking, the actual action of seeking something. You have your actual desire, something that is desired, and then you have your desire itself. So tawheed al matlub. هو الإخلاص. To make the matlub one, to make the murad one, the thing that's hoped for, the intent, the one that you're seeking after, to make that one, to single that out, this is called إخلاص. الإخلاص توحيد المطلوب المراد. And as for الصدق, being truthful, being honest, having integrity, this means توحيد الطلب. توحيد الطلب وتوحيد الإرادة. توحيد الإرادة. This is the difference between the two. This is the difference between the two. So a person, he will only hope for Allah. His hope and his trust, his worship will be sincerity and purity for the sake of Allah. This is called Al-Ikhlas. This is called Al-Ikhlas. And in his path of seeking that, he will be one. He will be one. This is called As-Sidq wa Nus. So, for example, the salah is from the things that are pleasing to Allah. So, the salah, it must be for the sake of Allah alone. This is making tawheed al-matlub. You make al-ikhlas in that prayer. You perform that prayer for Allah alone, nobody else, nothing else. Not desire, nothing else. You're only doing it for the sake of Allah. You want the reward from Allah. You want the promise of Allah. You want the help of Allah. You want the aid of Allah. You want the pleasure of Allah. You want to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is making the aim that you're going after one. That's called ikhlas, that you do the action sincerely only for the sake of Allah. And then as you're on that path and your efforts that you make seeking that thing, that must be one likewise. That must be one likewise, to make that one, to single that out, your desire. Because a person, for example, if he is making the salah, but his heart is thinking about the dunya, he's not focused. To focus, that means to make the idea and the aim one. If a person is distracted, he's thinking about a number of different ideas, he's thinking about a number of affairs in his mind at one time, he's not focused. He's not focused. So all of these other desires that are in his heart, his, from the worldly affair, from the family, from the wealth, from the prosperity, from whatever is in his heart, from the desire of other things, and he's thinking about other things, the worrying about other things, what he's going to do, when all of this has to go away, and he has to focus on his seek for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, on his search for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, on his desire and his hope for the mercy of Allah. This is the difference between al-ikhlas and sidq. It's the difference between ikhlas and sidq. So his to seek after Allah, and to worship Allah alone, to do the action sincerely for Allah alone, that's called ikhlas. But to focus while performing that action, and to devote oneself entirely to Allah while performing the deed at the time of the action, this is called sidq. So maybe a person, he has in general ikhlas, but he's not truthful because he's not focused, he's distracted. We made the example before of the worker who's cleaning the tables. If he knows that his boss is working, watching, how well will he clean the tables? But if his boss is not working, and if he doesn't have integrity, and maybe he'll be on the phone, for example, talking, or he's thinking about his family, or what he's going to do when he gets off work, and he just wipes them off, and maybe he just wipes them onto the ground. Maybe he just wipes the food onto the ground, or what, you know, he doesn't do it in the best manner. Maybe he'll leave some tables unclean. Maybe he'll just wipe it down one time, and it's still greasy. For example, he didn't do it the job properly. He didn't do the job honestly. He's not working with integrity. You understand? So this is the example of ikhlas and sidq, the difference between the two. So a person, no doubt, he has to be sincere and do the action purely for the sake of Allah. But then after that, in performing the action, one, he must be alive, he must be awake, he must be conscious, he must not be heedless, he must not be neglectful, he must not be forgetful of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he must not be preoccupied with the dunya. So the benefit came, huwa an yufarriga khalbahu lillah. That means that he will empty his heart out for Allah. So anytime we perform any action of worship, then the dunya should leave our minds. The action of worship, they're legislated for the hereafter. That's the difference between ibadah and adah. The difference between ibadah and adah is that the ibadah is a deed that's done for the hereafter. And the adah is a deed that's done for the worldly life. So if we are engaged in ibadah, then we have to leave the worldly life behind us. And the losers and the heedless, هم يعني يسيرون العبادات عادات. And the people who are heedless, they turn the actions of worship to everyday customs. This is from the traits of the heedless, of the negligent and the forgetful. They just, Allahu Akbar, they're bumping, they're moving their hands, and they fast when they fast. All of the actions of worship, they do them like it's a custom and a habit. Their hearts are not alive while performing them. This is from the means of failure. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. As for the successful, يُسَيِّرُونَ الْعَادَاتِ عِبَادَاتِ. They're turning their customs, the daily affairs, into actions of worship with a beautiful intention and by remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah make us from the righteous. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.